I sense it, like the wind has changed directions. I can hear a storm, it's rumbling, sounds like a freight train coming.
Oh, it's a current, electric, a fire, magnetic, the city streets at night. An eruption, explosion, an earthquake, commotion, a gamma ray burst of light.
I can feel it.
The Moon River Festival is back, set for the weekend of September 11th and 12th. In anticipation of the return of the festival, we reached out to all of the acts scheduled to perform. One that answered was this one, the National Parks. Their lead singer and writer, Brady Parks, took some time to chat on the phone from his home in Utah about their most recent album and all of the songs he's written since that album that he and the band are aching to share with all of us. This is a song from that most recent album, Wildflower, called I Can Feel It. Has such wonderful energy. I don't know if you start your sets with that song, but if I were king and could tell you what to do, I'd say, Brady, start your sets with that song. That's a great way to get everybody jumping up and down and shouting along with you. Because you only have to hear the song. You don't even have to hear the song once, I wouldn't think, to get the chorus and how you can sing along, you know?
Yeah, for sure. That's a really fun one to play live because of that energy, because of that crowd response and kind of that, yeah, going back and forth with the crowd, screaming, I can feel it and stuff. It's really fun to play live. We love it.
I can only imagine. And that's something of a memory, huh? Have you been able to play very many shows for crowds these days?
Yeah, things are starting to come back for us, which is awesome. Last year during the pandemic, we were able to do this thing called the Campfire Tour that we set up, which was just these small gathering acoustic shows in people's backyards for limited amount of people, and we got to play acoustic versions of all our songs. And now that kind of concerts are coming back in bigger scales, we've been able to play these songs full band, full production again, and really go crazy with the crowd. So it's been fun to have it start to come back now.
I can imagine. Must be an interesting experience. It's almost like starting over again, isn't it? For so many of us, that's the way it is at the moment.
It is, yeah. In fact, we had a show in March that was kind of our first big concert back, and we played at the arena here in Utah in Salt Lake City, Vivint Arena, and we were so nervous because it had been so long since we had been on a stage going crazy playing the songs, you know, so it was kind of like those jitters were back again, but it was a good feeling, and it felt so good to be back.
I gather from reading interviews with you that you have not been seduced by Los Angeles. You are determined you are going to stay in Utah. And as you said, and I think it's true, I've had that conversation with so many people, especially since the pandemic, that it really doesn't matter where you are. You can reach an audience from anywhere in the world at this point, from anywhere in the world. And many people have, in fact, had that experience of reaching people. It never would have occurred to them, might be listening to them, somebody living somewhere in the Midwest and playing for somebody in Sweden, that kind of thing. I imagine you've had some similar experience yourself, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It's kind of mind-blowing the reach of that music can have. And we go out and we'll play shows in a city that we've never played in before and not really knowing what to expect. And then we'll have, you know, a sold-out show and it'll just blow our minds because just the fact that our music has gotten there and spread there in a certain area is amazing. Like you said, we've decided to stick it out in Utah and to be, you know, a Salt Lake City band. And it's been a really great thing for us because we've been able to grow this amazing following here locally and then be able to tour like crazy. Like, one of our best places to tour is Chicago. And we played multiple sold-out shows in Chicago. And to be able to have that experience as a band from Utah, playing in Chicago, playing in New York, playing in all these different cities is really, really cool. It's honestly mind-blowing to see that the music has reached these places, and we get messages from Australia and from Italy and stuff like that, and it's like, wow, like, this is a dream come true to see a response from around the world and around the country to our music, and that it's connected with people is humbling, and it's a really great thing.
I've been patient, I've been waiting, never knowing if it's changing, ooh.
It's interesting that you say stick it out. From what I gather, sticking it out in Utah is not that terrible. You live in a place called, I mean, imagine living in a place called Bountiful. That conjures all kinds of images in my mind. And you've got the mountains. It's a beautiful state by all accounts.
It is. We love it here. It's beautiful. We're surrounded by so much natural beauty, so many national parks, and amazing people, and we really feel lucky to be here, and we feel like we draw a lot of inspiration from being a band from here and from the natural beauty that we're surrounded by. So it really is home for us, and we love it. And it's funny because it may not seem like the maybe outside looking in not seem like the ideal place to, I don't know, like, as far as music industry goes, to be a band from, but there's so much musical talent here, and it's like a melting pot of musical talent. People come, it's college towns, and they come from all over the country to go to school and bring a lot of musical abilities, and it's a cool community here. And I feel like bands uplift each other and push each other, and it's a cool sense of music community here in Utah. And yeah, it's thriving, and we love to be a part of it.
Well, just be careful. You say too many good things about it, you're going to bring all these people there.
True. Well, but everyone would hate it, though. Nobody should move here.
So tell me about the band. I know your wife, Megan, is your violinist, right?
correct. Yeah. So, well, I originally met Sydney, who plays keyboard and sings, and we just started jamming together back when we were in college. And I talked about the music scene in Utah, and especially in Provo, Utah, where we went to school. It's amazing. It's a bussing scene, and we were able to meet Megan and Cam through that music scene and through mutual friends in that scene. And yeah, it's been the four of us for several years now, and me and Meg have been married for almost 5 years, and it's been amazing to be able to tour and create music with Megan and, you know, do this whole thing together. It's awesome.
Was Megan a student too when you met her?
Yeah, she was attending Utah Valley University studying violin performance, and we just met each other through, yeah, mutual friends, and she joined the band, and we were friends for a while, then started dating, and then got married, so it's awesome.
What does that mean to study performance? Was she studying to be a classical player, or she was just studying the violin to play the violin in any context?
Yeah, so she grew up, I think she started playing violin when she was four, and she's been trained classically, so she was studying, like, classical violin performance.
Because it certainly doesn't sound like a classical player the way she plays with you.
Not at all. Nope.
Did she have any trouble making that transition?
You know, it was so fun to watch her make that transition because she's such a natural at it. I think she's always kind of dreamed of using the violin in this way. And so to watch her step into that role when she was first joining was awesome because she brings so much energy and so much life to that instrument. Crazy on stage, and you know she's breaking bow hairs like crazy and they're flying around, and it's a really fun aspect of our sound and our performance, having the violin fit into this pop indie folk pop world of ours.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? The violinist in the classical world, anyway, at least in my imagination anyway, had this rather staid appearance, you know, and then it with their back straight in the orchestra, you know, and they're very sober.
Yep.
But the violin is, to me, in every way, a cousin of the guitar, and you can do almost all of the things you can do with a guitar with the violin. Jump around and play, you know, wildly stratospheric-style solos, you know, you just wail just like you do on a guitar.
Oh, absolutely, and she totally does, and it's cool, too, because we've, you know, she started running her violin through a pedal board, and so different songs have different crazy things that she can do with sounds of the violin. And yeah, she goes crazy on it. It's a fun thing.
We'll be right back.
Not yes, every, we do. Not every folk band has a drummer.
That's true. Cam's our drummer, an amazing drummer. He was actually in a band in Utah that we kind of started at the same time playing shows with, and that band kind of started dissolving, and he hopped over to our band. So we had a different drummer at the time that was leaving, and it was just a perfect fit. He's really like a student of the game, you know, like he loves anything music, anything drums, and is kind of geeks out about drums a lot. And he brings that to the table with his background of loving like classic rock and 80s music. And it's a really cool thing to be in the studio and watch some of these drum ideas come to life. Cause we'll have like folk songs with really cool drum patterns and also electronic drum beats and all that kind of stuff. And I think it brings a unique element to our sound for sure.
I guess a drummer in a band like yours has to be pretty nimble. They can overplay and drown you out if they're not careful, if they're too much of a rocker, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that speaks to Cam as a drummer and to the diversity of our sound, because we have songs that are so delicate where, you know, he'll fit in a more subdued way. And then we have songs that are really poppy, like I Can Feel It, like you mentioned earlier. It's just full of life and it has huge drums. And he even has like a little drum solo in that song when we play it live. And, you know, it's kind of fun to have the dynamics during our set when we're playing. We can have those softer ones and have those bigger ones, and they all kind of fit together somehow.
And then you have Sydney, who's a singer, and she's also a keyboard player. And as far as I can tell, you don't have a bass player. Does Sydney play bass on the keys? Is that how that works?
Yeah, she does a little bit. So she tends to carry a lot of the bass weight. But we do run some backing tracks, because in the studio we record bass. And then when we play live, we like to have that energy. So we have a bass on our backing track.
I gotcha. Okay. So who plays the bass? Yeah. Did you have to bring a bass player in, or do one of you guys play bass too?
So we typically have our producer, Scott Wiley in Utah. He's an amazing bassist, and he'll play the bass on the record
handy.
For us. Yeah, it's great.
So you said in interviews around the time about this this is still your most recent album, right? The Wildflowers album?
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm.
That was a change of direction for you, that you stopped trying to be what you thought people wanted you to be, bless you, and started being who you are.
Yes. That was a kind of such a freeing mindset to take into writing and recording the Wildflower album. We kind of, before that album, felt a little trapped, like we were supposed to write certain songs and supposed to try to shoot for certain industry goals. And I don't know, we decided, hey, this isn't us. We just want to make music that feels authentic to us and break out of that mindset of trying to conform and fit into a certain mold or a certain box. And so that's kind of what Wildflower as a whole represents. That's why we named it that, because we feel like wildflowers grow under the wide open sky and in harsh conditions, and they're beautiful in their own way. And in a sense, we kind of felt like that as a band, like we can be a band that kind of grows under the open skies and does our own thing. And it was a really, really great creative experience to make Wildflower and just do exactly what we wanted to do on that record.
Yeah, go for it. Why should you be a product of the industry hothouse, which generally speaking doesn't necessarily yield good results anyway?
Exactly.
And I guess more than ever at this point in time, as we were saying before, in terms of playing for an audience, you're not limited to an audience. You know, once you take the terrestrial element out of it, you can pretty much reach anybody anywhere on the globe. Given that, it seems like the only real role for the traditional music business professionals is promotion.
Right. Yeah, seems like that.
You don't really need them for anything else, do you?
Right. Yeah, especially in a day and age when, you know, you can put your music out there and you can make money being an artist. You can tour, you can be independent and really make a living out of this and really reach people with your music and, you know, take the money you make and put it into promotion. And there's a lot of creative ways to get music out there now, which is amazing.
You need to start a podcast, Brady, and tell people these things. I think there's a lot of people who need to hear that.
Yeah.
You're a remarkably prolific writer. I mean, this Wildflower, first of all, has a bunch of songs on it. I think it's like 15 or 16 songs, right?
Yes, yeah. So there's 15 on Wildflower, and that was another thing when kind of we were creating that record is I wanted to just write because I loved writing. I wanted to write and remember the love of writing and kind of just dive into that process. And I wrote about 40 or 50 songs for that record, and we were originally going to narrow it down to 10 to 12 for the album, and we recorded, I think, 18, and we couldn't narrow it down, so we had to keep all 15 on the record that we felt good about. So, yeah, there's more than we, I think, originally expected, but it feels perfectly complete to us, which is great.
Well, I'm impressed. 40 or 50 songs. And I gather you have Megan to keep you honest about your writing, huh?
Oh, man, she really does. She's kind of a brutal critic, and it's a great thing for me because she will be very honest about how she's feeling about lyrics or a song, and she won't hold back. And sometimes we argue about that a little bit, but usually she's always right, and so I'll go back to the drawing board and write something, and she'll be like, okay, yeah, that's way better. And I'll be like, yeah, you were right, it's way better. So it's a funny thing. And that's great, though. I think that's something that I truly need and really appreciate, even though if it's hard criticism that I don't want to hear all the time. But when I get it, it helps me creatively. It helps me expand and think of, I guess, outside the box or outside my comfort zone type lyrics and stuff. And I think it's been a great thing for my writing overall.
So given that, I'm assuming you've probably written a bunch of songs since you recorded the album. Is that true?
It is true. Yeah. Kind of been writing nonstop since that album. So we have a lot of songs in the works. We just released two more songs. And we have some announcements coming up soon about new music and a new record and all that. So we're not slowing down over here at all.
Is the new record going to bear any resemblance to Wildflower? Is it similar sound that you're going for at this moment?
It is in a way. I think it's similar. But we've also kind of taken a little bit of a different direction with some of the new music. And yeah, some songs are kind of moody. Some songs are really big and full of energy, and it's kind of inspired by the times we're all living in right now. And I think there's a lot of ups and downs, and then you kind of focus on what matters most to you and the people that you love around you, and there's moments of joy in all the chaos as well. And so I think a lot of that is reflected in the actual music itself too.
It's at one and the same time a no-brainer to say that you're writing about the way life is at the moment, but at the same time, caught up in the maelstrom of the way life is at the moment, it's sometimes, I would think, difficult to get outside it and see it clearly. You know, we're also wrapped up in it because it just seems to go day to day, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's kind of been a big spark for me to write, is that exact kind of thought process. I get so caught up in what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and then I take a step back and start writing about it, and then start writing. And then that kind of leads to another thought of, you know, seeing it from a different perspective, and then thinking about, you know, our song Headlights that we released is kind of about that. It's about the world ending, but if it's the last night on earth, go and spend it with someone you love and dance in the headlights and try to forget that it's ending for just a moment, you know? And I think there's so much beauty to be had in those moments with the people we love, and even in the chaos of what's happening. So Yeah. We're so excited to come out there for Moon River. That's going to be such a fun festival, such a fun trip for us. So we're super excited.
Well, I think you'll have a grand time. The festival is on the bank of the river in the middle of downtown, but it doesn't feel like you're in the middle of downtown. It's a really nice festival. Drew and his wife, they've contained everything. They kept it to a reasonable number of people, especially given the situation we're in. But the whole thing just feels very low-key and relaxed.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, we're huge fans of Drew and Ellie, so we're super excited to meet them.
Yeah, they're sweet people, aren't they?
See them. Yeah, they're wonderful. So we're super excited.
It was fun to talk to you. Thanks, Brady, and I'm looking forward to meeting you.
Yeah, likewise. Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Great talking with you.
Been a pleasure. Thanks.
See ya. Thank you. See ya.